Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for KTAH 101.9's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, what's happening, what we should be doing, if anything, and always respectfully. Why do I always say that? Because we are all impacted by both climate change and the decisions we make about climate change. And everybody needs to be paid attention to. So always respectfully listening to all opinions. By the way, understanding and listening to somebody is not the same as agreeing with them. There are plenty of people out there that I'm probably not ever going to agree with, but that doesn't mean I can't listen to them and understand what it is that they're trying to say. If you've got something you'd like to say, send me an email at John, J-O-H-N, at ccltacoma.org, and I'll make sure that your point gets put on the air. By the way, the CCL part stands for Citizens Climate Lobby, so full disclosure, I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. It's a great nonpartisan group with lots of good data and clear thinking, a top-notch organization that's got lots of great data and perspectives and always done in a nonpartisan way. Climate doesn't care whether we're liberal or conservative, and so nonpartisanship, in my view, is really the key to creating a healthy future for all of us, which is not to say there are plenty of other organizations out there that are concerned about the climate, like 350.org, Sierra Club, Audubon Society, you name it. I often say that there are two things that we as individuals can do about climate. Part of those things are things we can do as individuals. The other things are political that we need to collaborate with like-minded people who are concerned about the future. So do your part at home and do your part by being politically active. By the way, in terms of doing your part at home, I have a document that I'd be happy to send you a link to. It's got over 100 things that you can do to make a difference about the climate. So send me an email at john@cctacoma.org, and I'll make sure you get that. I think it'd be appropriate to take just a second to look at where we are here and what we're talking about. The big picture is that human activity since the start of the Industrial Revolution has been pulling carbon out of the ground in the form of coal, oil, and gas, and putting it into the environment as we burn it for energy. Pretty much everything we've got these days is a result of that cheap energy, but it's come with a cost, and we're starting to pay the cost right now, and future generations are going to pay it even more, especially if we don't do anything to reduce our output of carbon dioxide. How do we know all this? It's really just pretty simple physics and chemistry. We've known about this process clearly and completely since the 60s, and there was plenty of conjecture prior to that regarding climate change and the impact of carbon dioxide. So it's nothing new, and it's something that we can rely on as a fact just as much as we can rely on the sun is the center of our solar system and the earth goes around it, not the reverse. The result of all of this, if we keep putting carbon dioxide out in the atmosphere, things are going to be worse downstream. What do I mean by worse? More severe weather events, hurricanes, tornadoes, weather events such as that, heavy rainfalls, wildfires, sea level rise, and probably most important for many of us will be social unrest as entire cultures become unable to support themselves as the climate changes, as rainfall patterns change, as sea level rises. And I want to take a couple seconds here to talk about the parallels I see with the COVID-19 that we're all dealing with right now. Two things in particular jump out at me. First off, there was plenty of warning that a pandemic was coming sooner or later, and essentially we ignored that, and I include myself in that. So easy to dismiss the possibility of something that doesn't seem imminent right here and right now, and now we're in the middle of it. So ignored warnings. The second thing is how quickly it all became partisan. You know, the virus is pretty much like climate change. It doesn't care about our politics. It doesn't care about our point of view. It's going to do what it's going to do, and we have to respond appropriately and not in a partisan kind of way. Can we do that? Well, seems like school is still out on whether we can ever address major worldwide problems in a thoughtful way based on the science and the data rather than opinions and partisanship. We'll just see, I guess. So on to today's major topic. Last time we were talking about carbon fee and dividend, and in particular, the fee part of carbon fee and dividend. So quickly reviewing, the idea behind a fee is that price be placed on carbon where it's produced, the well, the mine, or where it's brought across the border, and that that fee be escalating over time with the idea that higher prices will discourage use of carbon-based fuels and it will encourage use of cleaner fuels like wind, solar, or hydro. So pretty much as soon as we talk about collecting a fee, the question comes up, what are we going to do with the money? And it's a good question. And there are a few possibilities. We could just put that money into the general fund and spend it on whatever the government wants to spend it on. We could give it back and reduce tax rates. We could just return it to the populace in the form of a dividend or any kind of combination of those things. One of the things I think we have to think about is fairness, not only because we want to have a fair society, but for something to be politically acceptable, it's going to have to be perceived as fair by most people. I think the thing, and there are thousands of economists who support this notion, the very best way of accomplishing what we're talking about here in terms of fairness and effectiveness is to return the funds collected in the carbon fee in the form of a dividend to the populace. There are several bills in Congress right now that do just that. One in particular, H.R. 763, which is called the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, does just that. And I do think that bill is aptly named. It's a serious bill, which, of course, we acknowledge has no chance of passing in the present political environment. But it is a serious bill, and it's a great model for us going downstream when it does become politically feasible to put a fee on carbon. So let's dig in a bit and see exactly what we're talking about here with H.R. 763. In that bill, all of the funds are returned to the populace after collecting the administrative fee to cover those costs. By the way, those fees are expected to be quite low, maybe 4, 5, 6% the first year as startup costs are absorbed, and then probably around 2 or 3% per year after that. So the dividend would go to all individuals in the United States. A full share would go to adults and a half share for children up to the age of 18. So that means that a household of four would get three shares. What would that add up to in actual bucks? Well, year three would be about $2,000 a year for a family of four. Year five would be about $3,100 a year, and year 10 would be $3,800 a year. Of course, as the carbon fee does what it's planned to do, which is reduce the use of carbon fuels, eventually the dividend would start going down. So some folks support the idea of just offsetting taxes with the dividend, but really that's not that equitable a way of doing things, because people who pay the most taxes would get the most benefit, and people on the bottom end of the economic food chain would really be at a serious disadvantage, something that we deal with enough already without adding to the problem. A dividend also would provide long-term political support. Now, I recognize that's a bit Machiavellian, but let's get real here. For instance, Social Security, why is that program so secure? Because so many people benefit from it. So although there are elements in our political world who'd love to get rid of Social Security, they can't because of overwhelming popular support for it. So equity is a big deal, and studies Reliable studies show that about 70% of households will be at least as well off after the carbon fee and dividend in HR 763 or better than just okay. The wealthiest households will be paying more in a fee than they're getting back in the form of a dividend, and hey, that's okay. If you're making $250,000 a year, you can absorb a few thousand dollars additional costs, whereas if you're making $20,000-$30,000 a year, you can't. So how would the dividend be paid out? How would it be administered? Well, we've got a really good example going on right now with the COVID, and that is that the IRS and the U.S. Treasury Department administer it using existing bureaucracy. Now, they kicked up this program pretty fast in this COVID situation with the funds that are being paid out to individuals and households. Yeah, there have been some glitches along the way. You could expect that with any kind of operation of this size. And I imagine if a carbon dividend started to be paid out, there'd be some glitches originally, but it should smooth out pretty fast. The big picture here, it doesn't require any kind of new bureaucracy to administer. So it does seem pretty clear that the dividend to households with all of the funds going back to the households is probably the most effective and fairest way of managing that fee that's collected. There are other proposals that tend to be somewhat hybrids of what we've been talking about so far, like maybe 75% of the funds going back to households and 25% being held back for things like research or community development or assistance to disadvantaged folks. So let's don't do that. So one of the things I worry about is that we spend our time squabbling about the best way of addressing the problem and end up not doing anything, so let's don't do that. Okay, so we've talked about a fee and we've talked about a dividend. There is one other very significant issue that we have to talk about, and that's what about stuff going back and forth across the border? And we care about both ways. We don't want businesses from outside the United States who don't have to pay a fee on carbon having an advantage, and we end up importing the stuff to the detriment of our domestic industry. And on the other hand, we don't want to have to be at a disadvantage when we export either. That is, we don't want our industries to have to pay a fee on carbon and then have to compete with firms outside the United States that don't have to pay that fee. I think that's pretty clear. So the term we're using here is a border adjustment. So what exactly is a border adjustment? An adjustment would involve a tariff on countries that are exporting their carbon-based stuff to the United States without a price on carbon in their own countries. There would be a rebate on exports from the United States to countries that don't have a fee on carbon content in their products. This would have two very significant effects. One is that it would level the playing field so that U.S. companies would not be disadvantaged in dealing in the world market. And at the same time, it would encourage other countries to put a fee on their own carbon. Why should they be paying the fee to the United States if they could be paying the fee to themselves? And the net effect of that would be just what we're looking for, reducing the amount of carbon that's burned around the world. One of the common complaints about dealing with fossil fuel emissions is, well, what about India? What about China? The stance being sort of like, well, if those countries won't do anything about their carbon emissions, we won't either. This is a way of ensuring that our policies are going to impact economies around the world. So once again, we can ask, wouldn't this create a big new bureaucracy? And the answer, once again, is no. The U.S. Department of Commerce is already managing import duties and tariffs, and they would continue to do so. Essentially, as we collect a tariff on imports, it goes into the fund, and it's paid back out to U.S. firms exporting in the form of rebates, so really no impact on households. So that's carbon fee and dividend in kind of a Reader's Digest version. You may have detailed questions in your mind about how this all works. As always, I encourage you to do your homework. The issues are important, and we need to understand them, and we need to have soundly based opinions so that we can express ourselves politically over time in a rational and data-based kind of way. And the only way we can do that is by doing our homework, looking to people that we know we can trust. We can't get there just by watching the cable news shows. If you have questions about carbon fee and dividend or any other issue related to climate change, send me an email at john@ccltacoma.org and I'll get back to you. Love to hear your questions. Love to hear your comments. Love to hear your objections. Also, just another reminder that you can get my list of over 100 things you can do in your own home to change your carbon footprint. So that's it for today. Thanks for listening. And I'm reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care.